Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is June the 18th, 2022, and you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Happy Saturday to everybody. Hope that everybody is doing well. I am very excited because we're doing this show. Initially, I was going to do a live from a location that is doing the Juneteenth celebration, but I anticipated that it was going to be very hot out. But it's not as bad as I thought. But instead of trying to be, you know, rushing and everything to do this, I said, you know, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold off, pick another day, another event, because it's been scorching hot here in the ATL for the past few days, even yesterday. But the day wasn't so bad, you know, but that's just the South. That's just Georgia. That's just how it is here. One day it's this weather, the next day it's another, you know. So I made a decision that I'm just going to go ahead and broadcast live from the home studio here, and we'll go ahead and get the show started with the topics and the subjects that we've come up with that I think will be very interesting conversation. This weekend is so full of so many things going on. We have, of course, the Juneteenth celebration, and people are asking, well, what is Juneteenth for the ones who don't know? Why is it so special? Why now? Why? There's so many things about Juneteenth. Why is it black folks got to have this certain holiday and everything? And why did it become a federal holiday? Well, if you do the research, you'll understand it. Where I read an article where Juneteenth, in some ways, is looked at Black people's 4th of July, Independence Day. Again, I'll say, it's like Black people's 4th of July, Independence Day. It's when, you know, we were considered or was told we were free back then. Now, I know some folks are going to say, well, that was so long ago. Why are you guys still? It doesn't matter how long ago. It was well overdue. It should have never had to come to this point. But the truth is the truth, and it needs to be addressed. And I'm just very disappointed that America is supposed to be the, you know, home of the brave, my land of the free, and so on and so forth. Don't want to own up to the fact that it has a very bad history, per se. Right? It has really a real bad history in a sense. So what we're going to do, we're going to discuss Juneteenth, Father's Day weekend. And by the way, this happens to be, you know, February is Black History Month, the shortest month in the year. Folks don't realize that June is Black Music Month, okay? You know, you get in where you fit in, and that's unfortunate that we had to start out this way, and it's the way it still continues to be. But, you know, you got to give recognition because it is American history. All of it is. And America has to own up to the reality of the history of this country. And it's just amazing how all these events are going on. Father's Day weekend, Juneteenth, and Black Music Month. It's really amazing how all this is coming together all at one time. So I had a co-host who had popped up here, and I don't know if they're going to be able to make it back in, but let's see. That's what we're going to talk about today, and I need to open up the chat room. I apologize. Taking me a minute here. My co-host is back. So let me go ahead and open up the mic to the lady of the house, you guys. She has been here. She has been the one who has really done most of the work. You know, I mean, I'm on the line. I'm talking and everything, but she does really a lot of the research for the show, a lot of the flyers and everything. If it wasn't for her, you know, there would be a lot of things that would not be accomplished here on the TMGS. So let me open up her mic and welcome to the show on this unbelievable weekend. And I'm going to do it the way I always do it. Please welcome Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Like, hey, Michael, thank you. You're making me blush. Oh, my goodness. You know, thank you for all those kudos. But I wanted to say one thing. Juneteenth is a paid federal holiday.
Right, it is. Right.
Yes,
it was signed into law.
Because of Biden.
It's a paid federal holiday. Biden made it a paid federal holiday. And it's so crazy that where you're seeing more. In this administration, there's even during Obama's administration, we saw a few more Black people in it. Honestly, I mean, Donald Trump put a speckle in there, which they really didn't have the experience to be in the positions they were in. But you know, he tried, but you know, he tried to put a face on there, but. Yeah, it is a federal holiday. And if people really take the time to understand the significance of this, of Juneteenth, critical race theory, there are states who were just, you know, pass laws to not even be even introduced or even considered being part of the school curriculum, right? And it's like, well, what are you hiding from? How come you don't want to tell the truth? It has been looked at, and it's fact. So why do you want to not share the truth? Some say, well, it will make the country more divided. I disagree. I think once you tell the country the truth, no matter how hard it is to accept it, at least they will know it. You know what I'm saying? At least they know it's the truth.
Right.
That's the thing that blows
me
away.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't want to face the facts of it being true. But like you said, the Biden administration has got more. It's like a rainbow coalition for all the people he has put in place. You know,
mm-hmm.
not just a majority of Caucasians, but he's got Hispanic, Asian, some of everything in his cabinet.
Right, and that's the way it should be. In order for America to be, or for the makeup to be correct, it should be a mixed bag in a sense. You know, to some degree, it should be to show what America really is.
That's right, to represent all the
people. Is there any other country on this planet that has such a diverse community than America? But we are the most violent as far as among ourselves. We have more prisons, I think, than any other country in the world. I believe we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm trying to understand that whole thing. How come you want to hide the truth of America's wrongdoings? America has not been the perfect country ever since it became America. It hasn't. I was on I was listening and I joined someone on another cell, and we were talking about Juneteenth, and they said, well, they don't really agree with all of it, but they understand why, you know. And I'm like, well, as I just said, Juneteenth, according to an article, and I agree with it, where it's pretty much like the Black independence. Could you agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
And even though it took forever for the slaves and blacks to find out that they were free, that's crazy.
In Texas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it took all that time. And still, when it was said they're free, they weren't. They really weren't. Things, in fact, it was even worse for them, because they wanted to exercise their rights, and many of them were killed for doing so. But it was a law now. And then back then, people broke the law and murdered and raped and killed, you know, I mean, you know, individuals for doing what they had the right to do in America.
Right.
So I just opened up the mic to the law of the House. And I'm thankful that he chimed in. I know he has a lot going on this weekend. And I want to say hello to Officer Crenshaw. Happy Father's Day weekend to you, my brother, and Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth and happy Dad Day. Hey, Janet.
Yeah.
We popping in and out, listening and trying to conversate while I'm doing my thing because, you know, from last week, I still got my dingle in the dirt. So.
No. Well, anyway, happy Father's Day too, Officer Crenshaw and Michael, you know, and all
Thank
the
you.
Fathers that's out there.
Well, right. All mothers and fathers that are out there that raise their kids, this day is for everybody, not just the father,
right.
Because some mothers act as fathers as well.
You know, you got a good point there, and I'm glad that you said that because, you know, even on Mother's Day, there are fathers who wind up having to be mothers. Now, let me kind of correct that in a sense. When you're a single parent, it doesn't mean that it's just a female. I know a gentleman right now, he has two sons, and he's been the only parent for quite some time. In fact, Crenshaw, you might know him. The gentleman works at a Home Depot store, been there for years, and he's raised both his sons for a long time. And I talked to him about it. He said, man, it's not easy. And I really salute him I really do. And then, like, now, being Father's Day weekend, you know, there are women out there who play both roles, mother and father. But then I talked to one woman. She said, I can't be a man to my son. So what happens is that we have to also give respect to the mentors who step in from time to time. You know what I mean? There are mentors. They're not the dads, but they play a father role. And so I have to give respect to them, too. And a mother and a father can be anybody.
Right. You can hug me and love me on Father's Day, but I can't give birth to no child. I ain't pushing nothing out of my booty. So all the mothers can have, you know, happy Mother's Day to them. I can't do it.
Right. Right.
Oh, that's a day that stands out. And with all that's going on, V. Wade and all of that, you know, that's a day that stands out, because that is, I can't even think of the words. I mean, to be a mother in today's world, you know, because you have plenty of men that step in and try to be a father. You know, you have plenty of men step up and that are fathers. But, you know, we don't actually go through the birth. The woman does.
True.
She experienced that.
True. Well, what I was saying, well, I agree with you because, right, we don't experience what the birth process is. No man will ever do that. At least I don't see it in my lifetime. If they come up with some crazy shit where a man can have birth to a child, I hope I'm not here, you know, because to me that would be ridiculous. But, right, you have to respect what God created and the process that he, you know, made things in the order that he saw. You know, man is always going to try to do one of, all right? Let's be realistic. Always want to do one of. And sometimes it might be good. Sometimes it may not be. I can't judge it. Only God can judge what man does. But
you know, funny,
I do agree with you that when it comes to having a child, only a woman can give birth. But there are men out there who do raise their and have to play the father and, you know, somewhat a mother role, the things that a mother would normally do, you know, for their sons or daughters. Sometimes men have to play that role. Hell, there was times I had to brush hair and do braids and everything, because at the time when my ex and I were together and she had two kids, a boy and a girl from another individual, and she would leave for work earlier than I would, I had to get the kids ready. I had to learn how to do all that, you know, get them up and, you know, make them do what they got to do. Kids are very defiant about getting up, you know, and don't want to brush their teeth and don't want to do this and don't want to do that, you know. So you have to learn that. Even, in fact, not just being a single parent, but just being a parent, period. Sometimes, like I just said, you have to look at it as a father. You have to learn some of the mother's responsibilities to help the mother so she could do what she has to do, right? If she goes to work before you or whatever, or she comes home later than you, or you get home earlier than her, you might have to go do the grocery shop. You might have to start dinner, or you know what I'm saying? So those roles that are normally considered a woman's role in today's world, that's a family role. Everybody has to participate. Am I right?
Right. You chip in.
You have to.
I got to step away for Mike, but I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to drop the line. I step away.
No problem.
But just food for thought, so everybody have something to laugh about and think about for the remainder of the show.
Okay.
Rudy Giuliani giving birth with the expressions on his face. And I'll be back.
Okay, Rudy. I don't even want to visualize that.
Wow.
I don't want to even visualize that. Go ahead, Janet.
Well, I wanted to make a add on to what Crenshaw was saying and you about the woman's role. Well, I was married to someone who didn't think they were supposed to do anything but go to work and sit in front of the TV. So I did a lot. I played both roles. And he didn't take that the initiative until his sons became teenagers. And then all of a sudden he wanted to play that role, but it was too late. That's something you have to start out when they're small, you know. I played both roles for a long time, you know.
But before we get into the Father's Day thing, I want to stick with the Juneteenth. I want to stick with Juneteenth because that's what this weekend is about. First and foremost, because for the fact that, well, I know Juneteenth is new. Father's Day has been around for ages, but I'm just saying that this is kind of new, this Juneteenth concept, which is now law, of course, a federal holiday. And for all you federal employees, be happy. You're going to be off work Monday and getting money. You're getting paid. All right. But it's a worthy holiday. All 50 states, right. I'm trying to find the article that you had sent me. I'm scrolling down because I want to read a little bit of this because I found it kind of interesting. Hold on just a second.
I'm back.
Okay, all right. All right, hold on for a minute. Crenshaw, I'm trying to find this article about Juneteenth that Janet sent me. I have it here in the listings. One second. Okay, here it is. Let me open it up. And I found it kind of interesting. Very interesting of how this individual put this together. It's taken a minute for it to open. Okay. Now this is an opinion piece by Pennell E. Joseph. It was posted on the 17th. Opinion, Juneteenth, as much as the 4th of July, is America's true birthday. It says here, and I'm going to just read just a portion of it and make it back to it. Juneteenth 2022, which the nation officially celebrates Mondays, is unfolding against extraordinary twin backdrops. The ongoing hearings of the House Select Committee on January 6th and the continuing legislative efforts to halt or disrupt the teaching of the very history that Juneteenth, a day that marks the end of racial slavery in the United States, commemorates. President Joe Biden signing into law a measure making Juneteenth a federal holiday in 2021 came on the heels of the racial justice upheavals of 2020 that followed the murder of George Floyd. Juneteenth had long been an occasion more informally celebrating the news of freedom from slavery, belatedly, reaching black Americans in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865. It seemed that virtually overnight, the law established June 19th as Juneteenth National Independence Day transformed this day from a Texas-based African-American celebration into a national symbol of the enduring need to confront a long-denied history of racial slavery and its afterlife. The story of Major General Gordon Granger delivering the news of black people's hard-earned path towards citizenship and dignity became a metaphor for America in 2020, which was weighed down by a pandemic and convulsing with demonstrations demanding an end to structural racism in the aftermath of Floyd's murder. I, alongside other writers, scholars, historians, and cultural workers, found hope in the resurgent interest in black history that accompanied both the protests and the elevation of Juneteenth as a federal holiday. One manifestation of that hopelessness for positive change was the proliferation of best-selling books focusing on Black history, including The New Jim Crow, A History of Mass Incarceration by Michelle Alexander. Now, let me stop there for a moment, because here it states that this was in, what, June 19, 1865.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I mean, and, you know, that's crazy. In 1865, and you look at what we're dealing with here in 2022.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't even exist.
They don't want it to exist. That's why they're pulling everything out of the school.
Right. I want to continue just a little bit more, because there's a little bit more interesting information here, and I want everybody to understand this writing and what this person's saying. And I agree with what they're saying. It says, in that context, Juneteenth became more than just a part of the national conversation about efforts to achieve racial justice in America. The history behind Juneteenth serves as an important aspect of a broader, impetuous, many felt to do some wide-ranging soul searching. Those efforts were visibly amongst sport leagues proclaiming that Black Lives Matter, elected officials marching with BLM demonstrators, and museum and popular cultural curators, and ordinary Americans finally acknowledging the depth and breadth of systemic racism. The entire nation seemed chastened by the summer of unrest and inspired to do the personal and political work to make some long overdue changes. That's the key thing, that all these things that have been happening, I mean, we're talking about all these things that have been happening in America. Keep in mind, we were supposed to have been giving our dignity as Black individuals, our respect, our rights, back on June 19th of 1865. And look at what has happened since then.
Mm-hmm.
The same shit. The denial of respect. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you say that this is wrong, we need to correct it back in 1865, let the Black man be free and be respected and have his own and this and the other, let him do what he wants to do for his family, give him the right, treat him like a human being in 1865,
mm-hmm.
is all that was being said. Black people were asking for that, but were denied it. But white people said, hey, it's time to go ahead and do the right thing, back in 1865, okay? They said, let's do the right thing. But to this day, it's not. It's not being accepted. And then when you talk about critical race theory, which is true, there are white individuals who say, yeah, that's true. But there are individuals who are saying, we don't need to share that. We don't need to teach that. It's going to make us, you know, further apart. No, it should make us closer together to understand, in my opinion. But does that come back to being a threat that even now, as though we talked about on the show, or where there are some individuals, you know, Black and white, who fear that telling the truth might make things worse?
Right.
Officer Crenshaw, you got a response to that?
No, I was just saying it should, but we have a problem as far as the way we look at things, we have a tendency to put labels on each other.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So just like they want to label us as property back then, you know, it's still going around as far as labeling the Hispanics and Latinos, labeling the Asians. You know, who's going to fix your Chinese food? You know, who's going to cut your grass or fix your drywall?
Right. Who's going to do your nails and your weed and this and the other? And I like that you brought that up because here's what pisses me off. And I'm just going to be honest and open about it. We've lost self-respect. We don't respect not just each other. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We don't respect ourselves. And I just looked today at a video that is a day old where the police chased this guy. I can't recall what state it was in, but they chased him, and he went into a neighborhood, and the cops, there's like seven cars behind him. His passenger side tire is flat. He's doing, you know what I'm saying, a slow go chase, right, where the guy goes and he stops and he goes and he stops. And all of a sudden the people in the neighborhood are coming out on the street interfering with this whole thing. Now, you could be a bystander and watch on your phone, but they're walking up to the guy's door. And before I know it, I'm seeing where here's these folks out here in the street twerking in front of his passenger door. And I'm like, really? And in my mind, I'm thinking, now see, white folks or racist white folks, I should say, I'm not going to say all, but racist white folks are going to take that shit and they're going to use it and say, look at them niggas. Yes, I said it. Look at how they act. And I saw folks in the comments that said, this is very embarrassing to me. Black folks commented that this is how we act. The newscaster.
Not just us, because I did episodes on TV to where white folks do stupid shit too. You know, they want to come out of the trailer. You know, they want to come out the trailer and start throwing trash cans. It's us. So, but they're going to flip that because we're asking for respect that we should have already had.
Right.
Those trash white folks, they're not asking for respect because they're getting it based on the color of their skin already.
Okay.
And I can say that because I'm Richard Pryor. I'm light, bright, and shit, might as well be white.
Okay, all right. But you see what I'm saying is that but here's the thing. You make a good point. Yes, it does happen on both sides, but the media only shows a certain side of it, right? Okay, to a certain extent. We always kiki and ha-ha about, you know, when they pick the one individual who can barely speak English, you know, I won't say barely, but has bad English, you know, the way they speak, way they pronounce words and everything. But they pick that particular individual to interview, right? But then, as you said now, that what I just explained, what I saw, was here was a helicopter showing this from above, and this happened in L.A. like a day ago. But here's the news channel in Arizona airing what's happening in L.A. Why are they showing that? See, their sister station is sharing the link to them. Why are they doing that? It's not happening in Arizona. But you see what I'm saying? Anything like this that they can broadcast and show a very negative and very really ignorant side of some black folks is always available. It's spread out there. You follow my point? It's readily available. It's like, yeah, show this, show this. You're going to share this to a network in a different state? Has nothing to do with Arizona or Phoenix news. It's not happening there. But they made it a point to show what's going on in L.A. Now, granted, L.A. is the chase capital of, I guess, the United States. I won't say the world. L.A. definitely always has a chase going on. But when it comes to the perception that people get of black people is based on some of the media that they see, which is fact, and how it's, and the narrative of it. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
Yeah, it's a narrative. It truly is, you know, and it's sad. But again, I have to say, it's sad because we are, I mean, and I hate to say this about us black people, but it's true. We are the ones who are making it look bad. We are making ourselves look like the victim. We're making ourselves look bad the way that we control and handle ourselves in certain situations. You don't go out here and start twerking in front of no damn camera during a police chase.
Well, it's not everybody, though, Michael, but they do. People have a tendency to take and judge by what one person does. They judge everybody else, but it's not.
That is my point. It's not everybody, but there are people who feel like all of us act that same way. It's true. People who do not, white people who do not really know black people or really grew up with black people, they just maybe work with them, maybe have to tolerate them, you know, when they go shopping or whatever. You know, that's the only thing they know. And what they see on television, that's the only thing they know. But for us to confirm what their small understanding is by doing ignorant shit like this, this was a police chase. And you intervene into the police chase. You walk out onto the street to the suspect's vehicle. The police are behind him with guns drawn. Now, you put yourself in harm's way. And you talking to the guy, and this, that, and the other, and then even the anchor who was speaking, watching it just like I'm watching it, said, "Hey, look, it may be he might know the people in the neighborhood. They might know him. They might be trying to get him to get out the car and blah blah blah." Right? Still, and again, I'm not going to walk over to a vehicle that the police have been chasing. And there's six police cars behind him with guns drawn. I'm not going to walk into the line of fire because I don't know what this asshole is going to do in the vehicle, right? Would you? No. They believe that he had a gun. The point I'm saying is that
police let them go up?
What could they do?
I'm
going to give you the scenario. They're chasing him. The vehicle is breaking down. He stops in the middle of the street. The police come up behind him. They get out their cars like normal. Officer Crenshaw, correct me if I'm wrong. They open up their doors as far as being kind of like a shield. They pull their guns, order him to get out. These individuals in the neighborhood are standing on the sidewalk talking and everything. The cops, I'm pretty sure you couldn't hear them, are saying, "Stand away, back off, back off." This one guy goes over to the door, talking to the guy, puts his hands up, talking to the guy. Next thing you know, here comes more folks on the side. The cops are not going to approach the vehicle or those individuals who are standing there by there because they're trying to protect themselves. They're not going to stand there because in their mind, this guy in the vehicle may have a gun, right? So these ignorant-ass people in the neighborhood, and I'm going to say ignorant-ass, people in the neighborhood now become really individuals who are what is the term, Officer Crenshaw, whenever you're
party to a crime, because they're interfering with the investigation. So,
obstruction.
Right.
That's it. They're interfering with an arrest, and they're out here dancing and twerking and everything. But the cops can't come up there and grab them, Janet. Because their concentration on the guy they've been chasing. At that point, we didn't even know. I mean, they didn't even say what this guy was being chased for yet. Okay? But they were chasing him. And he gets to this area, and these people react this way. That's what I'm saying, is that where I got to call out folks like that, that's ignorance. And that's showing racist white folks, white folks who are afraid of black folks, an ignorant group of individuals. But it's not all of us, right, as it was said. We don't all act this way. But unfortunately, that's what some people have in their mind when they see this type of shit, this type of behavior. They should have stood their ass on the sidewalk and witnessed, take out their phones, and watch what happens. This dude, whatever he did, he brought it on himself. You got 6-7 police cars chasing you. You got to own up to it. I'm not going to get involved. But I will videotape it as long as I'm standing from a distance, because I ain't going to get shot over your stupid ass. You follow my point?
You got people looking at life in multiple ways, though, Mike. I mean, I agree with you because, you know, I used to be a police officer.
I know.
That could be a distraction in order to surround the car so he can get away. You know,
true.
But at the same time, it could be the community just saying, we're tired of all the excessive force with the police. You know, it could be a multitude of things. If you look back on the 50s and 60s, you know, when blacks were getting beat down, you had some blacks just getting out of the way. They didn't intervene. They didn't step in to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be what that young generation is thinking. Hey, if we get in there, they got to take us all. They can't take us all. So, you know, you got to look
right
at the mindset. And that's why everybody is screaming, man, what? Mental illness.
Well, all things, if you get a chance to look it up, I'm going to try to find the link to that video. And I want you guys to take a look at, I understand it where if you can step in and maybe be an assistance to law enforcement without being a person who could be charged, okay, for
right, you know, reasonably, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can reasonably.
Yeah,
if that was a rich kid and he drove up into, you know, his gated home at Bel Air,
mm-hmm.
his family's going to let him jump out and run in, and they're going to come out and delay the officers at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
but
just the mindset of certain people.
Exactly. It is the mindset of certain people. But, again, I have to say that where if you see this video, and I really want to find it and give you the link so you can take a look at it. It's you know, I agree with what you said, Officer Crenshaw, because that was the first thing I thought. When I looked at it and I saw the brother walk up to the guy, he might have been trying to help, which officers really don't want you to help, right? You know that. Because you don't know who's helping you, right? He's not an officer.
Right.
But maybe he knew the guy. I don't know, because you don't really hear the audio as far as what's being said, which the newscaster said, hey, look, you know, we can't hear any audio, but we just have the helicopter, because it was a helicopter shot of what was going on. And the thing is that where the guy was, who was on the street, was talking to the guy. Then here comes more people standing on the sidewalk right across from the suspect's vehicle. The cops are behind him now. You have to visualize this whole thing until you see it. They're behind him, hiding behind their doors with their guns drawn and everything. So now everybody who's on the sidewalk is possibly in harm's way, all right, if the shootout were to happen, if the person in the vehicle has a gun. According to the person who was reporting from the news station, it wasn't a helicopter pilot. She said, the police believe he has a weapon. All right. So to make a long story short, I can see if you know the person and you tell the cop, hey, look, I know him, you know, and you trying to talk and say, hey, man, give it up. Come on and get out the car. You know, it's over with. I can see that. And I'm pretty sure you being a former officer, you probably would look at it where, okay, let's see how this works. He knows him, right? Maybe he can convince him. We don't have to do anything else. Am I right? But when it gets to the point, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't even allow that because now instead of having one, I got to deal with two because I don't know this person either, even if he does know this person.
Okay,
so
right. But the thing is, looking at the video, I want to explain to you, looking at the video, there was really nothing that the officers could do. They could not run up on the guy who's at the door because now they're going to put themselves in harm's way because they do not know what the driver might have. Keep that in mind, right?
Right.
They're standing off. Yeah. Okay. So
now
what I'm
saying, though, you got two threats now because you don't know the person who just walked up to the car either.
Right.
So if he's got a gun as well and walking up to the car, now I got to focus on two targets instead of one.
True.
Even though there's nothing you can do except reposition yourself, that's about the only thing you can do.
Right. But let me say on point here. But here's where the neighborhood, to me, really showed a very disturbing side of it, of where all of a sudden here comes this woman. She comes out there. She's talking to the guy. She's walking up in the car. Keep in mind, the cops are not going to walk up and grab them and pull them away because they are in fear of the people, of the person in the vehicle, right? Does he have a weapon? They don't know. They have to assume that, I guess. Now, he's not going to just shoot these folks here, right? But he definitely don't want to go to jail, right? So if a cop can't just walk up and say, get out the car. See, that's what I'm saying.
But who's to say this guy could have taken one of the women or a couple of them as hostage, you know?
Well, who's to say? He didn't do it, but that's hypothetical. The thing is that they're having a conversation. He's not going to be able to get out the vehicle. Hold on for a second, Janet. I got to let you know. You have to see it to understand it. But the point I'm making is this. It became really stupid and crazy because of the fact that the cops were just at a standstill while people in the neighborhood, and it's a growing crowd, gathering on the sidewalk and then coming out to the vehicle. They didn't get in. But over on the passenger side, there's girls out there dancing and twerking and everything. That's stupid as shit. That is stupid behavior. I don't care how anybody look at it. That's stupid behavior. I would like to look and see if any of those individuals were charged that did what they did. They should have stood their ass off on the sidewalk and not got involved into this situation. Now, he did crank up the vehicle, drove into a little alleyway, but couldn't get too far. And then later on, I could see where at the end of the alley, there were officers at that other end where he couldn't get past them. He couldn't drive the vehicle any further. And finally, he gave up. But the whole point I'm saying is that where you can't get into these situations of saying, well, we're going to support this and support that. If the person's wrong, they're wrong. Stand back. You can videotape. You can, you know, witness whatever. You can say, hey, look, I know him. But me personally, I don't think that you should get involved, put yourself in harm's way, and get involved into a situation like that and make it look ridiculous as you did for all the world to see. We have to have more, and it goes back to what I'm saying, respect yourself. And these individuals on the sidewalk that got out there and did what they did was just total ridiculousness. It really was.
I agree with you, Mike.
Ridiculousness.
Everyone has a different mindset. And everybody searches for that 5 minutes of fame, believe it or not. That could have been their 5 minutes of fame that they could brag about to their friends, their group that they hang with. I agree with you. It was stupid. And it makes us look completely bad because the news media,
right.
Everybody else, is going to flip.
It's wrong. Right.
They won't
that's,
flip.
That's
they
what
won't
I'm
flip
say.
Their white.
And you're going to get individuals, right, and they're going to, and then the racist white folks or whatever sect or group are going to say, look at them assholes. Look at how they act, disrespecting law enforcement. And you're proving them right by doing the shit that you just did.
Right.
You're proving them right.
Just my personal opinion on this. I don't know what's going on in that person's life, so I don't have a right to judge on why they did what they did. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to judge them on it.
Right.
Even as an officer, if I was behind that car door seeking cover and they started coming in that way, I would have started positioning the other officers on the backside of his car to distract him so we can have officers move in and snatch their asses out of the street, whether we charge them or send them home. At least we know they're not in harm's way anymore.
But
you don't have,
again. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, you don't have officers that think with an open mind anymore. They shut their mind down and think one-dimensional, one way. This is what I have to do. This is the way I'm supposed to do it. This is the law. You know, if I don't do it, what's going to happen to me?
I
understand. You know,
you have to
have a broader mind.
Well, I have to say, and, you know, I don't have time to look up the video, but I want to look it up. And you
send
guys can check it out. Okay, yeah, I have to find it again. I just happened to run across it, and the point I'm saying is this. When we talk about, which we really kind of got off of track here, but when you talk about respecting what Juneteenth is about, which that's what we were talking about, you know, your dignity, your rights, you have to show some self-respect. And I'm seeing a lot of individuals, a lot of videos where people don't have self-respect, let alone respect for others, but just self-respect in our own communities. That's what hurts
well,
me.
Well, that's evident. That's evident from the former president. I mean, look at what he's done and what they brought out on him. You know, so, I mean, it's from the top bottom. So if they see he can do it, they feel they can do it.
So let me ask you this. This being Juneteenth, what does this day mean for you or this particular holiday weekend? What does it mean for all of you guys for Juneteenth? What significance does it have for you personally?
For me, final acknowledgement of my native existence and what my forefathers went through.
Janet? Are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It means to me the freedom that we're still striving to for, because even though we're free, we're not really free, because it's a double standard.
All right. I see a caller here, 323-338. Caller, if you have a question or comment, go ahead and hit the number one. I'll open up your mic. We're almost at the top of the hour. We got 5 minutes before we get to the 7 o'clock hour. You know, we got into this conversation and we've been, you know, going around and around about things, but it's great because this is a very interesting month here. We have Father's Day weekend, we have Juneteenth, and Black Music Month. And Father's Day is any race, okay? Everybody here in America. Juneteenth is what they want to call a black holiday, but it should be a historic holiday of American history, of facts. It shouldn't be labeled, oh, that's the thing that black folks want to celebrate of when they became free. No, it's American history. We got to stop separating the accomplishments and the betterments that happened in America. When black people were allowed to be free, let me finish, okay, and have their dignity and have the rights that any other American in the 1800s had, it made it better for black people. Should have been, but it didn't. Go ahead, Jen.
No, well, I just wanted to say, you know, even though everybody else that was in the United States knew about the freedom, it was just that place in Texas that they had the people
right.
still thinking that they were slaves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't for everybody freedom, because we had got the freedom, we're supposed to have had the freedom, but it was just the people in that town that didn't have freedom. They were still thinking that they were slaves.
Okay. But still, again, what if that message was not given to them? How much longer would they have been slaves? What, another year or so?
Well, probably, because they weren't even aware. So that's why they said, even though it happened, it was like, what, 2-3 months later they found out that they were free? They didn't know. They weren't aware of it. So they're not really – that's why they're celebrating the Juneteenth, because that's when the last got their freedom.
Okay. Or were aware of their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, so we're at the top of the hour, and I definitely have to change gears here. Again, happy Juneteenth weekend to everybody. Hope that if you're listening and you're out and about, you're enjoying the festivities that you might be attending. I know there's a lot going on throughout the country, so that really says a lot when it was just became a federal holiday, and now you got all these celebrations, pretty much like you have a 4th of July, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, or any other holiday. I want to switch to Father's Day. You know, Mother's Day is the most, which we did touch on this, Mother's Day is the most celebrated holiday between the two. No, let me take that back. Janet, let's back up and go to what's been happening during these hearings. We definitely have to talk about these hearings, what has been going on. What was this, the third one this week?
Yes, that was the third.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and take that. I definitely have to touch on it. Now, I'm not able to see every bit of it. I have been able to catch a few things. What do you think were the key things that were being said in this last one? For you people who have not been following it, some of you may not care, but this is very interesting. You know, these congressional hearings regarding January the 6th, because what they're showing now are videos, clips, audios, individuals who have testified that we were not aware of, and hearing their responses. You know, this is really deep information, Janet, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really making their point? Are they making their point? Are they going to be able to make the American public as a whole believe so far what they're sharing with the American public? I'm sure Trump supporters are not going to agree with it. I'm pretty sure that so far I know a few of them that say, well, that's what they say. But there are some folks I have talked to who say, well, I didn't know about this. Now that I'm seeing this, you know, and that, I have a second guess about it. What do you think? And are they on the right path?
I feel like they are on the right path because everybody who testified were part of the Trump administration, even his daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared. Plus, they had this judge who was well-renowned. He really told just how serious this insurrection was, you know. And I know it's serious because Trump just got on TV and said that if he becomes president, he's going to pardon all the people who played a role in the insurrection. So that's trying to send the code, I guess, for them to not talk anymore. You know, because he knows it's making him look real bad. And Attorney General Garland requested all the information from the committee, from the January 6th committee, you know, so he's really looking into how serious it is and, you know, probably pursuing, like, pressing charges and you know. So I don't know if people are going to continue talking because that came out, but he is asking for the information. And at first, the January 6th committee said that they weren't going to give up the information, but now they said it changed. Now they're going to give him the information.
Well, I find it very interesting. I haven't had a chance to really watch all of it. I do catch some of the highlights and everything, but this is a very interesting situation that's going on. I have to open up this mic here. Let me make sure it's the right person. You guys bear with me. And I have other people in the chat room. Okay, so I just opened the mic to 347-693. I think this is my sister. How are you doing today?
I am doing just fine, Michael. Mr. Michael Gay, how are you, family? How is everybody doing today?
I got a lot of sisters. I know quite a few of them's number, but I knew this one here. This is my sister, Denise L. Wilkerson.
I think it's the only 347.
And happy June, too.
I'm so happy to be with you guys. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A lot of exciting things going on all across the country, and people are enjoying themselves. A lot of, you know, beautiful cultural events being presented. I know they had a lot of activity going on, of course, in Harlem and in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy community, this whole weekend, actually. So I'm hoping that I get a chance to get out there and take a look at some of, you know, what's going on.
Right. There's an event going on in Harlem. I think you know who Marvin McIntyre is. He's there.
Yes.
He's live streaming. He's at this cultural event that's happening in Harlem. He live streamed just recently, and I saw that. So, yeah, there's a lot of great things going on. Well, you called in. I guess you were listening a little bit to what we're talking about. And I just want to ask you, what does Juneteenth make you think about? What does it mean to you now that it is a federal holiday? I don't know if that makes any difference for you working wise. I know it don't for me, but just the fact that it's being acknowledged, and hopefully people will look at it for more than just a day off from work, but you know what it really means. As I said, that,
well, you know, it's interesting, mm-hmm. even for me, I must admit that I was a little bit ignorant about the significance of it when it was initially brought up a couple of years ago, I think is when they started to actually bring it forward, during the pandemic in particular, if you mm-hmm. notice. But I am very happy that there is some recognition of issues of concern to Black people, and in particular slavery and the mm-hmm. so-called, and I'm going to put the word freedom in quotes,
right.
because while there was a declaration of freedom for individuals. And in particular, you can imagine so many years, a couple of years, I believe, went by before the people in Texas actually got the news.
Right.
You know, it's just an indication of, again, putting that word freedom in quotes, because it wasn't something that they felt important enough to really be heralded across the country. So for the people in Texas to still be living for so many years under the same conditions, the same slave conditions, and not be so informed, you know, it's just indicative of how black people are regarded, or the lack thereof of regard for black people. So I think for us, so many years on the other side of that, and putting into context what we, the livelihoods that we have now and the opportunities that we do have now, it's just important for us to take more advantage of educating our young people in particular about the significance of those times, and to take a hold of the opportunities that are available to them at the present time that maybe weren't available to our great grandparents and our grand, you know, our grandparents. For them, it's great great grandparents. You know what I mean? It's a world that I don't think they're as clear about as maybe I am, because I remember going seeing the black and the white water fountains and traveling at a certain time in, of night going down to South Carolina early in the morning so that by the time you got down there, it was daylight. You know, it was all of these little things that were going on that our parents were, you know, knew to do in order to keep us safe traveling back from north to south. Because, you know, the situation was the way it was. You know what I mean? A lot of people aren't really as familiar with that. So I think it's just important for us to always give our children enlightenment and to let them know that you're living in different times. Yes and no. You know, and y'all know what I mean by that. But times are different. There are opportunities available to them. And then they should be reaching out to take advantage of those opportunities to further themselves as individuals.
But Denise, I have to, and I want you to continue because I love what you're saying, and I think you get my point. I don't always come on here, you know, I never claim to know everything. So anybody that's listening, trust and believe, I don't know every freaking thing, okay? I have a platform and invite guests to come on and educate us. I have co-hosts who have experience that can educate us when we discuss these things, right? I just look at things and I'm like, what's your thoughts about it? And I listen to what people say, of course, yourself and Janet and Officer Crenshaw and everything. So it's a blessing to have all of you here, because the thing is, you get what I'm saying, is that where we have to, regardless if the states want to stop critical race theory, we can still share it, right? We have a platform to do so, to tell the truth.
Right.
And the thing is that, like I said earlier in the show, is that where we have to be able to tell the truth. Now, Janet, you recall, well, I had my niece and nephew on here. I didn't tell everybody that they were my niece and nephew until towards the end of the show, but I had them come on to share their experiences. We have to hear what the kids are dealing with, too.
Yeah.
We have to understand them. For us to say what we know and what we grew up on is one thing, but to hear their side of the story of what they're living life in is a different thing. So we have to open up that whole conversation too. The only thing I was saying earlier is that where it's sad of where here's individuals what we know have died for our rights, for our civil rights. You know, it's like this one comedian, his name is Michael Chi, said, you know, you got the LGBTQ and everything fighting for rights. We were fighting as black folks for civil rights, right? Just civil. And to this day, we still don't get it in many cases. Today, when you talk about as far as critical race theory, telling the truth and everything, you got states who are blocking that information, don't want it taught in schools. Well, hell, when I was growing up, I was forced to learn what they wanted me to learn, right?
Right.
That was in the curriculum of America. So how come the truth about the wrongdoings of America and the racism of America in the beginning up until now can't be put into the books? How come?
Well, because it doesn't serve the majority. You know, what we have to understand is, and many of us realize that, quote unquote, what does really the democracy concept mean, democratic concept mean? It means that the majority of people get to have a say in what is supposed to happen or what will not happen.
What
and
will
so
be taught,
if the majority
not,
of
right.
people, and it trickles down to that. You know what I'm saying? It trickles down to that in terms of what's going to be taught in the public schools and what's not going to be taught. I just saw a piece on the news the other day where they had transgender people reading books to children in early elementary schools, and this one particular woman in a political office was very upset about it.
Right.
Because she doesn't feel that that's something that young children should necessarily be exposed to. She feels that sexualization of teaching too much sexuality to children at a very young age.
Right.
So here's where what my mama used to say comes in. It is so important, and back to what I was saying earlier, for us to take control of that. You're not going to take control of what per se is being taught in a school unless you're sending your kids to a private school where your money is basically dictating what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. If you're having your children educated in a public school environment, you know, theoretically, you know, there should be some agreement that whatever they're teaching and however they're teaching is based upon the wishes of the parents. But my mother was a proponent of, you're going to go to school and you're going to learn a lot of things. Some of the things we agree with, I'm just going to give you a basic thing like evolution, right? Because my mother believed in creation. So here, you know, this is something that they teach you in school. So what do? I learned from my mother, that's not what we believe, right? But you go and you learn it. You still learn about it, you know, and then you make a decision, which is now where we talk about critical thinking. You make a decision whether that's something that you're going to follow, a tenet you're going to follow or you're not. So the same thing happens with or comes into play with all of these other issues and concepts that are necessarily or being taught or not being taught in school, right? We as parents have to make sure that our children receive the education and learn things that we want them to know and that we know is going to benefit them in the long run. So you're going to go with your math, you're going to go with your science. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that are absolute, right? You can't get too fancy with math. Math, English, science, that's pretty much what it is. It is what it is, right? And interestingly, those are almost God-created concepts, right? Science is science.
Right,
it is what it is or it ain't what it is. But when it comes to things that require thinking, critical thinking, social studies, right, your history, those are the things where you can say, hey, wait a minute, you know, that's what it says over there, but guess what? Let me show you this. And we introduce those things to our children at home. Should we continue to impress upon school officials what we want? Yes, but that takes a collective. You know what I mean? When my boys were in school, I couldn't get parents to so much as get together to do a banquet for the football team. You understand what I'm saying? Let alone get them to all sit down and say, let's work together to have, you know, X taught in the classroom. It's sadly, the state of, you know, affairs in some communities.
Can I say something? Yeah. This is an experience I had. When I was in the 10th grade in New York, upstate New York, I took a Black history class, which was real hard because we weren't really taught too much about Black history throughout school, you know. So it was even harder. I mean, I was acing world history, American history, but when it came to Black history, it was like I was a fish out of water. And then we had to go to a private school in the suburbs and have a debate with all these white students, and they knew more about our history than we did. So they are, some of them are learning about us, even though they're not putting it in some of the schools, they are learning about us because they knew more about the history than we did.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Well, hey, ladies,
it's a...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I want you to finish up because I'm going to change gears here. But finish out what you're going to say.
No, well, I can appreciate what Janet was saying because, you know, again, whatever curriculum was being brought forward in that school that she, you know, was up against the debate in terms of the debate, you know, kudos to them, right?
Yeah.
That they were in a progressive enough situation or a progressive enough mindset to make that part of something they were teaching, you know, the white students. And why not, you know, stand up and give them all a round of applause for that. And yet, Janet, you felt at a disadvantage because it wasn't a track that your mindset was being, you know, brought into through your school.
So, right. It's
just like I said, it comes down to, you know, for me, and I'm gonna say this very quickly, and then I'm gonna turn it back over to Michael. I remember when I was probably like in sixth or seventh grade, we had just moved into the Lafayette Gardens project, and I was going to a majority white school. That's a whole nother show, to be honest. I don't want to get into that, but I want to
stick
with the
too.
Point. So, all right, so we can have a show about that. But what I want to say is this. I received my Black history education from our neighbor, Ben Harney. Ben Harney actually went on to be a Broadway actor. So Ben's mom, they lived in the houses across the street from the projects. And his mother was very pro-Black before it was fashionable. And she used to take us to, me and my sisters, and I loved my mother for always allowing her. You know how my mom was kind of, sheltered us quite a bit. But she would always let, when Miss Harney would come over and say, oh, Miss Dunnan, I want to take the girls to this particular museum. They're going to have this exhibit about Black history or that. And my mother would always let us go. You know what I mean? And so a lot of the things that I learned early on about Black history was because, again, in a home, and maybe back when community was really community, you know what I mean? When village was real village, she was the person that introduced me to, and us, me and my sisters, to that. So, you know, let's just encourage that, and there's a wealth of information out there now. Things are not suppressed. We got internet now. We got books now. Is more than we can actually probably receive, but it's available to us, and we need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, instead of just learning about George Washington Carver or Booker T. Washington or Frederick Douglass, there's a lot of other Blacks that did a lot in the United States as far as inventing,
Right. Right. There's a lot of things that we take for granted that were created by Black people, certain things that machinery, not just the machinery, but just the way things are done. In fact, the first
invention.
We had on the show the first security camera system was done by a couple. a husband and wife did that. We've talked about this on the show, Janet. And now you look at where you got Ring doorbells, you got all kinds of security systems, camera systems, but it was actually done by a black couple who did it, a man who had where he was concerned about his wife being at home and created this system. Who owns the patents? Who owns it? Who buys it? Who controls it? And keep in mind, we talked also about the fact that even though at that time you might have created something, you could not patent it. You could not own the product. You had to go through somebody else who may have been white in order for it to become the national product or brand or whatever it is today. And people are making tons and millions of dollars by doing what they did, what they practiced. I want to go ahead and take us a music break. The time is now 7:21 p.m. here on the East Coast. You're tuned into the TMTS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live. I'm in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, with Janet Davis, the one and only Miss Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Sky. Also, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw is here with me. And, you know, hopefully we're going to get Cotton Campbell, who's going to be premiering her new show coming this Thursday on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, called Let's Talk About It. And then we have a special edition of TMGS with our special guest, or guests, plural, which will be the one and only Miss Karen White and the alchemist, the tightrope walker, Mr. Derek Muhammad, will be joining us next Friday evening, a special edition of TMGS. We're going to switch gears, and we're going to go into Father's Day, because this is Father's Day weekend. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Let's get into that conversation. Should be interesting. Now, I'm going to start it off because come Mother's Day, I mean, it's everything about mama. And, of course, it should be. She's the one who brought us into this world, each and every one of us. But daddies don't get the best deal. I'm going to be honest. They don't get the best deal on Father's Day, okay? I'm going to show you some examples, okay? You know, you got these great songs for mamas. I always love my mama, you know, Dear Mama, you know, Sadie, you know, all these classic great songs for mothers. But I don't know any classic great songs for dads, all right? But I have to play this one for my dad because he was an awesome guy. I really love my dad. I do miss him. We became very best friends, though I always respected him as my dad. We could kiki and ha-ha. You know, as a kid, I couldn't say cuss words around my dad, but when I became an adult, he'd say some jokes and tell me some pretty dirty jokes. You know, I'm like, okay, we gonna play that game? Ooh, I'm gonna tell some dirty ones too. And we'd laugh our ass off. We worked together in construction. I'm serious. I mean, it was just so crazy where, you know, you thought that, you know, that you had a limit of where you could go with your parents. But when I became an adult, I always respected him now. But, you know, we were two grown men. Granted, I'm his son, but he allowed me to be a man around him. And he was just, you know, always a man around me, still my dad. But we could still, you know, be friends. Here's one song that came to mind because there was an incident that had occurred and which I witnessed many incidents that would occur, and I would see the anger in my dad and see how he would just handle the situation. Jenny, you recall I told the story about where he whooped the shit out of two guys one time at a place we were all at when I was a kid. And I was like,
right.
Okay. I mean, the door closed and all I heard was, boom, bah, boom, 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 boom. And Dad walked out of there and he said, come on, boys. Me and my brothers, and as we were walking out, I glanced into I saw the kitchen door open, and there was one guy laying on the floor, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess time to go. But here's a song that makes me think about my dad. We'll be right back. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this should be playing. Well, I don't know why it's not playing. Okay.
Uh-uh.
Oh, now, come on now. It's not playing. Okay, so, all right, I'll have to find out what happened there. But, that's interesting. That one wouldn't play. Let me find another one I uploaded, if you guys don't mind. Bear with me. And I'll tell you what that song was in a moment. EFG. I'm looking at the board here, and it's crazy how this board works sometimes. I'm going to refresh it real quick. But in the meantime, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, this being Father's Day weekend, can the ladies share, if you don't mind, your fond memory of your father?
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started about my dad.
Yeah.
Me and my dad. Go ahead, Janet. Go ahead, baby.
Well,
the lady in the house. Go ahead.
The fond memory I had of with my father was after I was married and everything, he spent a lot of time with me and my children and my husband. And I learned more about him after I was married than I did when I was growing up. But it was fond memories, you know, so. And then he ended up having Alzheimer's, and I had to take care of him, and you know, until it got to be where it was too far gone. But I did have good memories of him being with my children and them learning about their grandfather.
Okay. Denise?
That's beautiful. So my daddy was a bus driver, and always took care of me and my sisters and my mom. As a matter of fact, early on, he told my mom he didn't want her to work because back then there was no such thing as daycare. And so my mom had someone taking care of us. I wound up with diaper rash. My father was so upset. He said, no, that's it. You ain't working. That's it. You're going to stay home with the kids. So he worked very hard. He was a guy who loved cars. And so when I got of age to be able to drive, actually he taught me to drive, which is why I'll tell anybody on the road, you can't touch me when it comes to driving, because my daddy was a bus driver, and my daddy taught me to drive. So I know how to drive like a professional. He got me my – that's right. I'll tell anybody – I have a Yukon. I drive a Yukon right now, me and my husband. And they see me backing it up. They want to tell me how to get into the space or whatever. I'm like, I don't need your help because my daddy taught me how to drive, okay? but anyway, daddy got me my first car. Matter of fact, he used to take us when he would fix cars, 3rd Avenue, and bring us back home. We'd be looking all crazy with grease on us, and he'd ask us to pass him different tools and what have you. But then as I got old enough to get a car, he taught me how to drive. Then I had a 69 Mustang. And then he bought me my first red and blue Chevy Impala, right? Black. But anyway, so back to the Mustang. So one day I'm out with the Mustang, and I'm driving all around. And, oh, my goodness, the car cuts off on Eastern Parkway. So I call my father. It is 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like 19 or 20. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So I call Daddy. Daddy? The car broke down. I don't know what's going on. The car won't drive. He said, are you in the middle of the street? I said, no, Daddy. I was able to get it over to the side, you know, onto by the sidewalk. I said, but it's not going. I can't get it to start. So he gets out of his bed. He comes and comes with his car, and he looks under the hood. He looks, and then he comes around, and he goes to turn it on. He said, baby, you ain't got no gas in the car.
Well, we just got it right off of air.
You just figured, well, hey, once I fill it up, it's going to run forever. Okay, I get it.
I was like, oh, my goodness, I got Danny up out of his bed, okay, and some gas out while I'm running the street. And yeah, and he came all the way to where I was, and only to find out. So I never made that mistake again, you know.
well, yeah,
but
they
anyway,
had
I mean, that's just one of the. Yeah, man, that's one of the, like, the funnier memories I had with my father. But, you know, he was really a loving, sweet guy, always smiling, loved to dance. And he had a, you know, I had a good relationship with him. I was reading an article about how some men, people talk about relationships between fathers and their sons a lot, Janet. But they don't
yeah.
talk as much about the relationship with fathers and their daughters, right? Do you
That's
find
true.
That yes. to be the case?
Yes, yes. That's why I was glad
well,
to be able
of, well,
to spend as much time with my father.
Yeah, there's
my other relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of great relationships. I see a lot of great relationships of fathers and daughters. The father and daughter dances now. I see that on social media, which is really great. I'm glad to see that where dads are, you know, doing those or those events are going on. I want to see if I can play this track and come back and so we can discuss more about Father's Day weekend and coming up this Sunday. Tomorrow is Father's Day. And I want to see if anybody else has anything else to say about Father's Day. I want to see this track will play. I don't know why it won't. Okay, so anyway.
Well, I wanted to say one thing, though, Michael. You know, Luther Vandross had a song, Dance With My Father Again. And
I
also feel like A House Is Not a Home. Those are the songs that don't mess with feel. Don't mess with the bill.
TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show broadcasting on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. I was trying to pull this track up, and it took its time, but that was one of my dad's favorite songs, so I had to play that.
because when you
well, I was trying to figure that one out. I said that's not a Father's Day song.
I know it's not, but I'm just I'm reminiscing of one time when there was an incident.
Bill?
They called him Bill, right. You know that.
Yeah.
His name was William Albert Gay, and he was always known as Bill. And so one time there was an incident, and he and I were Kiki and Haha, and he said, you know they ought to know that song, son. I said, what song? He said, Don't Mess with Bill. And I just cracked up laughing. I'm like, yeah, that's you. You know, and my dad was no.
Thank you for clarifying that, Michael, because
yeah.
I was trying to figure that one out too. But
right.
you clarified it and cleaned that up really well. I'm with you,
yeah,
Janet.
Yeah,
that is very true. Janet knows that was his name. They
yeah.
called him Bill.
Yeah,
they
called
him
Bill.
Yeah, they called him
but
Bill
I
Gay.
Always said William. But yeah, a lot of people
yeah.
said Bill Gay. Mm-hmm.
Bill, right. So, but that was one of his favorite songs. And I cracked up laughing. I remember him saying, you know that old song? What song? Don't Mess with Bill. I said, okay, Dad. But anyway, that's for you, Dad. God bless. Wow. Yeah. But keeping on the whole thing about Father's Day, I want to see if any other individuals on the line. Officer Crenshaw is here. Officer Crenshaw, do you have anything you want to share?
I didn't know my biological father. I grew up with my stepfather, which was probably
okay.
the greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. He was first MARTA black bus driver.
Wow.
He taught me damn near everything, working on cars, all type of stuff. I mean, when y'all were telling y'all stories, what stood out for me, and no, this is not where my mind go, but this is just where I got caught. My first sexual encounter was in my living room, and nobody was allowed in the living room in my parents' house. It had plastic on the sofa and all of this. So I met my girlfriend at the Omni when it was the ice skating rink over there. And we rode the bus back. And I didn't think anybody was home because the car wasn't in the driveway. He had parked in the backyard. So we went in the house, and we started making out on the sofa. So here I am. I'm putting Petey in the hold, and I hear the door open, and I look over my shoulder, and he looks at me. He nods his head, and he closes the door back. He leaves. Let me finish me that night. And it wasn't I was doing it in the house or that. It's because nobody was allowed in that living room.
Right.
To me,
that was the
being
main
in there on the plastic. So I remember that. I remember him teaching me how to do brakes, work on engines, all the things that he instilled in me. And one thing my stepfather told me, he said, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do what you want to do. He said, all my life growing up, people were telling me, because I was a black man, that I couldn't do this. He said, let me tell you something. If you can read, you can do it. Because all the white people that go to school, all the black people that go to school, they have to read to learn how to do things. You can do any damn thing that you set your mind to.
I believe in that.
And,
not today.
Ever since, Mike, and you've seen some of the stuff that I can do differently
right.
from what my life was.
Right.
So, you know, and it's all based on reading and education.
And your stepdad taught you a lot of that, obviously.
Yes.
And for you guys who are listening, I've worked with Officer Crenshaw on a couple of projects. You know, the guy is multi-talented. You know, he's taught me quite a few things. I've worked in construction myself, but seeing what he does, and it's not like he has to do it. He does it because he loves it, to be honest. of course, you make money at your job, but he loves doing this. This is what he does. He's very well equipped. He has everything he needs to do the job. Trust me, I've seen everything that he has in, as far as equipment. So, and that's a passion, you know. So what I want to do real quick, because we're at
50, I just want to say one thing, Michael.
Sure.
Michael, I just want to say one thing, and I think Janet will agree with me. If that mm-hmm. scenario had happened and our daddy walked in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or mama.
You would have been a dead dude in the house.
It wouldn't have went nothing like that. I tell you what.
You got
would have been
right.
a dead dude. Or somebody would have been going to ER.
What? That's right. That's right. That would have been
it.
But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, Michael. I'm sitting here thinking about it. My daddy walked in, and I know Janet would have had a similar experience.
I wouldn't have never even dreamed of or thought of doing something like that in the house.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Nowhere near that.
Well, of course, you ladies probably would not have done that. But there are women and men who do that, you know, who have done it and still do it. Right. Right. And I've seen the videos of where, I mean, trust me, it's hilarious sometimes when you see where mama or daddy walk in where their kids are involved in a sexual activity. But I saw one in the parents' bed, and she came in here with a broom and started beating the shit out of her son. He's like, he grabbed that broom like, mama, stop, stop. And he's screaming like a woman. Okay, so anyway. Let's stick on point here. But, Janet, you mentioned a song by Luther Vandross. And, yes, it's a great song. I definitely want to play this because it's a classic. It's one of the few mm-hmm. songs that give honor to dads. And I want to play that. And once it's done, we'll probably have maybe 10 minutes left on the show. And then when I want to
okay.
go ahead and make some announcements of what we have planned. Next week, it's still June, and Juneteenth is pretty much throughout this month. This weekend, it is, but this is also Black Music Month. We have Black History in February, but Black Music Month mm-hmm. is in June. So I'm going to get back to that when we come back from this. Here's Luther Vandross celebrating this Father's Day weekend. We'll be right back.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could spend I'd play a song that would never, ever end. Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me. I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Well, welcome back to the TMTS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live, always. Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMTM, Michael Gay Network. I ain't gonna lie, it almost brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah,
because I really do miss my dad, truly my best friend. For almost 15 years, we worked together on so many job projects here in the ATL in Atlanta, some buildings that are still standing, thank God, and it's just, it really hits me when I drive by them and think about, you know, the times that we spent working on them. Hey, we got it's 7:48 p.m. Here in the ATL. Want to let you guys know, Cotton Campbell, you know you should have been calling in, but I'm going to do this for you, okay? Hey, you guys, coming up next week, we have a very busy schedule, okay? Very busy. Because next Thursday is going to be the debut of a new show here on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. It's called Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of the TMGN. That's all I'm going to say, all right? They have individuals' names, but I want you guys to make sure you tune in. I'm pretty sure I've posted the show times, but if you are on Facebook, type in the Michael Gay Network, and you will see all the shows, everything that's coming up. We're still, you know, trying to, like, get everything in order. But type in the Michael Gay Network. You will see upcoming shows. All these shows are being rebroadcast. In fact, some of our previous shows from months and even years earlier are going to be shared shortly. Some of our classics, our rewind shows, will be there. So, and also on Instagram. And then on Friday, the following night, which will be the 24th, a special edition of TMGS, we're going to have a conversation with the caramel, or should I say caramel, goddess, the icon, the superwoman. Miss Karen White is going to join us, along with the alchemist, her business partner. We call him the alchemist, the tightrope walker, the Dragon Slayer, Mr. Derek Muhammad, will join us. In fact, Karen is on the West Coast right now doing a show, and she's got a lot of shows coming up. She's going to be here in the ATL in I believe, July with Carl Thomas, and she's going to be in Las Vegas soon with Lou Sims. Hey, you guys, check out her schedule. She's very busy, so make sure you tune in this coming Friday. She's going to share all that information with you. And there's so much going on with this woman. If you live in ATL, tomorrow night, Sunday, if you live in Atlanta, make sure you tune in to television station WATL, the Black Music Honors will broadcast, but the national broadcast will be on the 25th, the day after we have our interview with Karen. That's a lot of information, I know, but you've got to see this great production. I was very happy and honored to be there, and it's just a great show, great artists, great performances, just an awesome show. So make sure you put that on your calendar. Next week, the debut of Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell. Friday, Karen White and Derek Muhammad. And next Saturday, I got something kind of special because I ran into somebody that is a internet sensation, has over a million followers, and he's going to drop by and say hello. Give you a hint. Nah, I'm not going to give that hint. I'll leave that alone. Okay. I'll try that next time. All right, so Janet, what did you think about this evening's show, and do you have anything else to say about the topics that we've discussed regarding Friday, Juneteenth, and more?
I just want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there and to the mothers who have to play both roles. And thank you, Michael, for playing that song. It really touched my heart.
It's an awesome song, an awesome video. If you guys haven't seen the music video, there's different ones, but there's one that actually has Jay-Z and Beyonce in it. I love how they gave tribute when they did that video after the passing of Luther Vandross. It's sad. You think about it. It's sad that here we got Michael Jackson gone, we got Prince gone, we got Luther Vandross gone. Just so many iconic, legendary artists that are gone way before their time. And what blew me away, and I'm sorry, I have to throw this in here, is that where I was talking to someone, and I was listening to the interview that we had with Ron DeVoe, right? And the person asked me, and this person's in their mid-20s, said, who do you listen to? I said, an interview I had on the show. Who was that talking? I said, that's Ron DeVoe of New Edition. Of who? I said, New Edition. Who's that?
And they still going strong.
That's true. And they're still going strong. But here's the thing that kind of worried me. How can you be in your 20s and you don't know about an iconic group like New Edition? You follow what I'm saying?
Wow.
How can you not know? Let alone just New Edition, but BBD and, you know, I mean, if you know who Bobby Brown is, if you know who Whitney Houston is, you should be able to put it all together, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? And like,
because Bobby is singing with them.
Well, that's where it started. And then when you look at me, at my age, at 60, I mean, granted, I was born when the Temptations were out there, okay, and still love the Temptations. There's only one original member, but I still buy their new music because they're still doing what they do. But the point I'm saying is that where it's sad of where you don't know where the grassroots of what you listen to come from. Legends, icons. When I was a kid, all I wanted to know who, I mean, I didn't have to know, but I knew who Count Basie was. I listened to Count Basie. My parents would play this stuff. I knew about Ella Fitzgerald. You know what I'm saying? You know,
Lena Horne.
John Coltrane, Lena Horne, exactly. Mm-hmm. I heard that around my news. And, of course, hearing it, I had to know who they were. I wasn't born in the era, but I knew their music. But it just kind of like blew my mind that here's kids who don't even know a few decades ago. And the music that they're hearing now are samples of those exact artists. Okay.
But your parents, Michael, like you said, your parents played the music, just like I played the music for my children. So they know a lot about R&B and jazz and, you know,
pop. Well, here's the thing that where the kids should have been hearing the music. If the parents were playing it, the kids should have been hearing the music. But we only have 5 minutes. I want to go around the board and make sure everybody has a chance on this great interesting weekend. Father's Day, Juneteenth, Black Music Month. I want to go ahead and let Officer Crenshaw chime in, and then, of course, Denise L. Wilkerson. Officer Crenshaw, what's your final thoughts?
Just happy Father's Day to all the fathers and the mothers that are having to be fathers, and to the fathers that aren't here with us anymore, that are still in our hearts.
Amen. Okay. I appreciate that, bro. Seriously, that's true. You know, and Denise, you feel here?
I am, and I have three things to say. Number one, when you're 20 years old and you don't know who Mr. DeVoe is, you don't know what you don't know. Simple as that. But that's where that education that I was talking about earlier comes into play. Number two, my wedding video surfaced in the house here, and there I was dancing with my dad at my wedding with my husband. And the first thing I said to Daddy was, I guess I better not stand on your feet like I used to. When I was little. And third of all, I want to give credit to all of the fathers, and the fathers exclusively. There was an interesting thing on CBS News the other day where they said, let the dads have the day. Okay? We know a lot of mothers are stepping in, but they still can't teach a man like a man can. And as young girls, you know how you related to your dad? That was a whole different relationship than one you had with your mom, as you well know, my dear Miss Janet, lady of the house. So, you know, to all of you out there, enjoy your day and be safe and be respectful, and just let's show some love all the way around the board.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, you guys, I truly appreciate all of the co-hosts that managed to be here on this, you know, really, this is really a historical weekend of, you know, with the all the things that are going on. I already told you what's up. Don't forget that TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, is now available on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, just a host of things that you can listen to, all the rebroadcasts. Thank you, guys. God bless. I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here. And see you all next Saturday. Make sure you share with everybody the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. And I'm going to get out of here with our original theme song. Janet loves this one, so I might go back to it, Janet. Hey, you guys, be safe, be happy, and be blessed. I love you. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.